Alrighty, welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast. I'm your host, Noah Rubin, and today is episode 75, and we are going to be redrafting, or I guess just drafting from a dynasty perspective, the 2022, 2023, and 2024 classes in one draft with Josh Lloyd and Alex Reclean. Let's go ahead and get into it. All right. As I said, we are going to be drafting from three different classes, and I'm going to go ahead and bring in Josh Lloyd and Alex Reclean. Hey. Gentlemen, thank you all. Thank you both for joining me. How is everybody doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Noah, I have a question for you. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but like, I listen to your podcast, but yeah, because I'm crazy, I do it at double the speed. Is your intro theme song, is it deliberately made to be really slow because everyone listens to podcasts on higher speed so that it just sounds like a normal speed? Because I'm listening to that and going, what's going on? Why does it sound so slow? But do you think that's done? I know you probably don't know. Maybe B-Dub does it. I'll ask him. Anyway, side note, how's it going? Good to be here.
Yeah, that's good. So it's a sampled song that B-Dub had picked out because he asked me, he said, what kind of music you listen to? I said, I listen to rap music. So he picked out like a 90s, maybe early 2000s hip-hop song. At one point, I knew exactly what song it was because I felt like that was knowledge that I should know. But it's been so long since I thought about that that I was like, dang, I should have just kept practicing to make sure I had that answer. But I don't think it's intentionally supposed to be slow. I think that's just how the song
I've had this, goes. I have this thing, thought, right? When I hear people's podcast songs and I listen to everything fast and then everything sounds normal. But then if I ever hear it in real time, it's slow. But I think because now if I was to go back and change my song, I would deliberately make my intro song like a slower one so that when it gets played at a faster speed, it sounds sort of normal as well. But maybe people aren't going into it with that much thought. That's got nothing to do with this. Let's go.
No, yeah, no. I love side banter, but I'm totally fine also staying on schedule. So we will go ahead and do that. I'm going to share my screen, I think. I thought I clicked it, but now it's not letting me.
Yeah, Noah, I think you're up first with the second pick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's...
Oh, here we go. Alex, let me... Well, Noah figures this out. So I've got the number one pick, right? And I've been talking about this and debating it online completely civilly all the time, of course, about the ideas of snake drafts and how third round reversal is probably something we need to do because of the imbalances. And someone said to me, man, you'd never be happy if you got the first pick and then third round reversal be in place. And I said, I would. Alex, I'll give you this. No, this changes nothing for you. I'll pick first and I'll pick last in every other round. seriously, because like we all know who I'm taking at number one, so I'll just pick last in every other round. I actually think that's fair. You want to take that deal, or do you want me to get the back-to-back picks?
I mean, I think like if our goal is to like make fair teams, that honestly would be fair given the players on the board. Okay. And you're gonna take it. But no, but I think that people are used to hearing snake and I think.
Yeah, but be at the forefront, mate. Be on the front foot. Don't be like don't be the sheep. Be the creators. Let's go. Take them. Noah, write this down. I'm picking first and then last in every round. Alex, all take them. Right. I'm not saying that it's perfect. You know, I'm so good at fair this enough. Because I'm not right. But it's more like if I'm sitting here at number one, like I've got an advantage already. I've got the advantage. Let's do it.
I think it's a enough. Perfect format for a three team draft.
Yeah. So then, Noah, are we going 2-2-2-2, or are we going? So one is Josh, Noah, me.
Yep.
And then it's me, Josh. Okay.
Yep. Just do it that way. Then just do non-serpentine the rest of the way through. All right. I'll start it off. I got pick number one. All right. I'm taking Victor Wembanyama. Wow. What a shock. Cool. Let's go.
Honestly, it's offensive that you didn't write that in when you opened the spreadsheet.
Yeah. I just figured I would play it honest.
As soon as I saw that draft come up, I just noted it in my street and go, all right, let's go. We're moving on from here.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I'll go Chet Holmgren with the second pick because I feel like he's the next best dynasty asset from these three classes. Probably a top eight, consensus top 10 dynasty player just overall. Mm-hmm. Just a unicorn, big. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think there'd be a lot more conversation around him if Victor Wembanyama didn't exist.
Yeah, this is, I think, where it actually starts to get a little interesting. I think I'm gonna go Brandon Miller with the first one.
Oh.
And I think I'm gonna go. It does fall off a bit of a cliff after the first two. I think the guy, you know, part of this is we're looking at like, part of this is you're factoring in star potential in Dynasty. And I think that the player available, the best asset for the next 2 years is, I think, different from the person most likely to get a first team all NBA vote like ever in their career. And so I'm going to go with Paolo.
That's a good pick.
I think it's the Paolo pick. It's not the right pick for this year or next year. Like it just flat.
It's fine. I had him at four anyway. Like I think that's
okay.
I think it's the right spot.
Okay. That makes me feel a little better. Okay, great.
And I'm gonna go ahead and, because I was gonna take Paolo if you didn't, but I'm gonna go ahead and take in Jalen Williams and just go ahead and start my Thunder Dream team.
That was the other one that I was considering. Was Jalen. I love Jalen. Right.
So I'll just take Amen Thompson here at this spot. Like I'm pretty happy to get Dave. He might even be number three actually on my board. So I'm really excited about what Amen's gonna bring. We're talking a bit. Yeah, Dynasty here, but I'm happy to get that one. And back to you, Alex.
Throw the twin my way, please. I considered the twins at the 3-4 as well, but I did think that they were after to me.
Yeah, I like both the twins.
So, what are you gonna do, Alex? Your pick. Yeah, it's back to you now. This is where I've foregone my snake advantage. So what are you going to do?
Well, I took the other twin.
Oh, I did. Oh, so sorry. My bad. You did.
So it's Noah now.
I went.
I thought I heard him, right?
Yeah. All right. My bad. I didn't have the screen up. So it's your. Oh, so now this is where it does get tricky. Noah, I'm very interested to see what you do here.
Yeah, I'm going to just keep buying in with initial draft, I guess, scouting. And just not thinking that this guy stinks just because he wasn't as good as a rookie. So I think I'm going to go ahead and break Josh's heart, I think, and take Scoot Henderson.
Oh,
okay, so geez. I did break Josh's heart, which is lovely to hear.
Yeah, I didn't think that people were as the stuff that gets chucked around about Scoot, not from you guys necessarily, but just the general like populace is like crazy. To me, like, so I just responded to a comment about him saying, man, what a bum, terrible pick. Why didn't they pick three? They should have gotten ready-made guys that stepped in straight away, like Lillard and McCollum. Like, okay, bro, that were 22. And then McCollum didn't start until he was 24. Like, Scoot's 19. Like, what are we doing? Like, anyway, you made the right pick, and it annoys me. Yeah. And now I'm just stalling for time to figure out what I'm going to do here. Because this is a – it's not a good spot. All right, I'm going to take. I actually hate doing this. I'm going to take Reed Shepherd at that spot. And I was debating that. I had him and Alex R in a similar tier in my dynasty rankings. I don't know. Yep, I'll take Reed.
I mean, feel free to swap to Sar. I encourage it.
No. I'll take Reed there.
Because. Reed was gonna be my next pick if it made it to me. And spoiler alert, Sar is not on my board. I've got about 20 names written down, and Sar is not one of the 20. So we're gonna go to 42, but Sar is not one of the names highlighted for me. You don't have to worry about him for me in the next coming picks. I think I'm going to stay in Houston, though. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. But which one, though? That's
Give me Jabari.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
I had him the highest of the remaining Rockets guys. I just wasn't sure everyone else would. That's okay.
He was next on mine as well. So that's
interesting. All right.
I think I'm going to get the other stretch four from that class. I'm going to go ahead and go Keegan Murray.
You're not that worried that he's 25 years old?
I mean, I don't love it. I mean, I wish he was younger, but I still think he's just a genuinely just a good basketball player that doesn't rely on his athleticism too much. And they're an aging team. He's still younger than everybody else there. So I think he's going to be good for a while.
He's only 20. Okay, he is. Like, he's fine. Like, he's 24. I exaggerate a little bit, but I think I worry a little bit with Keegan this season of a usage step back. It's going to be hard to improve it. He was only at 18 last year. So his minutes are going to be fine. His role is secure, but like, there are probably 30 other guys on this team who are 4 year on in this list of players who are like four to five years younger. And that's why, like, I had him pushed down quite a bit because, again, we're building dynasty stuff here. And yeah, he is like, that's pushing the upper limit of these guys.
Right. No, that's fair.
But in terms of immediate contribution, there's not much to argue about him being in this spot. Now, this is where it gets a little okay. Let's just take that. Oh, jeez. I'm going to take fuck, I don't know about this one. I'm going to take give me Keyonte George. Yeah. Just give me a little bit of someone to give me a bit of a usage bump the first year or two. Let's see what he works into. Yeah, like, I had a group of about 5-6 guys all sitting around this same area, and I'm pretty confident when we get back around to me that obviously one of those 6 guys will be there because we're not 6 picks away. So, yeah, I'll take Keyonte there. Just give me a little bit of usage upside.
I like it. I thought Keyonte was going to last a bit longer than that, he was definitely on my list.
It's pretty flat around this area. Like, I don't know how you guys feel. Like, this area feels very flat. Like, there's about 20 guys that feel pretty similar. Maybe not 20. Let's say 15 guys that are very similar to me here.
I had Wemby 7-5. So I had, like, a total of 14, and then I had a bit of a gap. And just a collective of like a literally random splotch of I've got the most disorganized spreadsheet list available. So Keyonte was not in my top 14, but he was definitely one of the guys I would have eyed quickly from the next. The problem is that two of the people in my 14, I don't actually like. But no, speaking of Houston, I think we are going to stay in Houston. And I assume that this was the other one you were thinking. No, we're going to Portland. Shaded Sharp.
Oh, wow. Really?
I like him.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, much like you didn't have Keyonte that high, I didn't have Shaden that high either. Let's see.
I like Shaden.
But the argument, this is what I mean about it being flat. Like, I had him down significantly, but like, you tell me you pick him there, and I look at the guys I've got above him and I go, yeah, whatever. Like, that's okay. Like, I don't, like, I'm not vehemently against it in that spot.
Yeah. He's got a lot of upside because he's super young, jumps really high, can score the ball. So,
maybe it shouldn't, but it does carry weight to me that, you know, one of the two guys in the industry of drafting got hired to join a team and sort of pinned his player was Shaden Sharp. Like that says something to
me. That they also drafted Chris Murray though. So yeah. What are we gonna do with that?
Fair.
And Scoot Henderson, that guy who sucked as a rookie. So. I've got a few bigs here I want to choose from, but I think I'm going to choose Derek Lively.
Oh, you didn't? How did you do that? I thought I was going to sneak him through there. Now I am left with it. Whoa. All right, tell me why you picked him ahead of other bigs.
Yeah, a year younger, and he's playing on a better, significantly better team than the other two bigs I was deciding between, even though they all have really good young point guards. This one has played in the playoffs, and I think that I think he's going to be a three-point shooter, but I think he can maybe stretch the floor a tad enough to make him more dynamic offensively. And I think he's a pretty good passer as well.
I was just on the argument of, like, ability leads to minutes, isn't he the best one? Like, Isn't he just like is he better at basketball?
Yeah, probably
better and healthier.
Like if you're building a dynasty team and you're trying to project for, you know,
yes,
you know, when I'm playing fantasy football, I'm looking 2 or 3 years out max. When you're playing fantasy basketball, you can have these players for a while, and especially when a guy's that young, if he's also the best player, like, huh? I like the Lively pick.
Yeah, I actually had him one spot ahead of Keyonte George, but I was sort of hoping that he would slide through. So that obviously backfired. And now my list is just peppered with centers. And really? Okay. Now, yeah, I'm sure you all know who the three are. I've got three centers sort of all together here. And it was bad last year, but I am gonna take Walker Kessler here. I know that would help. You'd be really happy with that, Raclean. Like, you're a big Kessler guy. I'll take him there.
I've cooled. I'm concerned at how much the team seems disinterested in him. Like,
yeah,
they're the ones there every day, and it's a coach who seems to have a lot of respect around the league, and the coach seems to not want to play him. And while I am very much surprised based on what I have seen, and based on what I have seen, I would have made a much different decision. I feel like I shouldn't ignore that. There are some coaches who will say, well, you're an idiot, that has no impact, but I don't think he's one of those coaches. And so the way that the Jazz seem disinterested in Kessler has me concerned a little bit. But I mean, I like the player and I like what I've seen from him, obviously.
Like, what spot are we at here? What, this is peak 14 or whatever it is?
No, this is 13? 16.
No, it's 15. This will be 16.
So, like, you know, even if he just tops out as a 25-minute-a-night player, getting him at this spot, it's fine, because I'm like, I'm saying, well, he's going to be the fifth best player out of these.
Yeah.
Like, and if we had done this last year, like, Alex, like, he might have gone top six, top seven, right? Because people thought, well, 30 minutes coming, like, he's going to do all this stuff. Like, at this spot, like, then the other two guys that I'm considering, like, there's equal problems with those players as well, I think.
This time last year, I would have taken him before the Thompson twins, given their depth chart. Well, the Houston depth chart and the Detroit management situation and the concerns that those bring.
Reasonable.
You know, those are better players, but those are situations that they're stuck in for a while. All right. Well, no one took Tari Eason, so fine. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. You're just loading up on Rockets. Got a couple of them. Yeah. He was when you were saying Jabari earlier, I was thinking maybe you'd go Tari
at that spot.
Yeah, that's the direction I thought that maybe, because obviously people love him, but you want to talk about like minute situation. Like, where does he play?
I'm worried about it.
It's like, I don't know. Like, because I don't know, Alex. I don't know how you feel, or even Noah. Like, to me, he's a four, so that means he's playing behind Jabari Smith. Like, I guess he sort of can play the three, but he's not really a three. I don't think he's reliable enough as a shooter. So, like, where does it ever push to something bigger? But whenever he's on the court, like, good stuff happens.
Yeah,
it is a tough one.
I agree. I agree completely. But I did have that tier break of, I had these 14 players who I saw as having meaningfully more upside than anyone else, and he was still in that 14. There's one left, but I'm not even going to take him if he comes back to me. Which is, it's interesting when you're on the clock and you're realizing, like, no, I'm you know, push comes to shove, I am going to pass on this guy.
That has me very curious, but I mean, the Tari Eason pick, I think he is a guy like different, but kind of similar to Walker Kessler, where he can make a pretty big impact in 25 minutes. So maybe if he is playing a bench role in Houston, I think it can still be pretty impactful. Which puts me on the clock with the same two centers I was debating between them and Derek Lively, which you guys didn't make my life any easier. He's like, do I trust Charlotte's medical staff or Detroit's defensive development more?
Charlotte has a new medical staff, by the way.
So Mark Williams is going to be my
the building is haunted.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And the PR team that doesn't relay information is, I think, another part of that frustration.
Yeah. I can't work.
Super talented.
Yeah, I obviously when I was talking Kessler, I was debating Mark Williams as well. I was debating Jalen Duren in that spot too. And like that would logically tell you that I'm going to take Duren here, but I don't think I am. I actually think that Duren's fine. I worry about just how terrible he is defensively. I worry that Detroit with a new front office in there, that maybe they're not as into him as that sort of a guy. I don't know. Like, he's obviously a rebounding beast. He's got some skills, but I'm not sure. So I know that you're not going to do this. You're not touching. I know that he shot 5% in summer league, but I'm thinking Alex.
That was Reclean.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, there you go, Alex. Suck on that, because I'm taking Alex Saar here, because I know he was bad, right? But he did block 2.5 shots. And do you know he averaged, I think, the same amount of assists as Steph Castle did in summer league? Like, I'm not saying that he's a passer. Like, I'm not saying that. But we look at this 3-game sample size where he shot horribly, and it was bad. And he was doing stuff he's never going to do. I still think there is a lot there, even though I think he's not an elite prospect. No one was really in this draft. So I'll take Alex Saar there. And I've got the age advantage there. I think, like, even Jalen Duren's young, but Saar's still 2.5 years younger, I think.
Mm-hmm. To be clear, my opinion of Alex Saar is in no way impacted by his summer league. I try really hard not to pay attention to summer league in almost all cases. I I'm not super impressed by him.
Oh, that's fair enough.
compared to we're still in the pretty good players from last couple of years. Saar was on my rate, he was on my radar as a draft prospect in a way that Risa Shea wasn't. I'm more interested in Saar than Risa Shea. I wouldn't have picked Saar yet pre-summer league either. So just as a clarification as we're going, so far I've picked a power forward and 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 a power forward. At what point do I need to pick other positions, or can I just keep picking power forwards?
There are do not worry about positions. We're good. We're just drafting players.
Okay, great. Because that is important to.
But I don't think they're all power forwards either. Like, you're drafting a lot of them. But just to clarify, like, Shaden Sharpe is not.
I know. I was just making a joke. Yeah. And Brandon Miller is probably more of a small forward, and and I don't know what Saar is. I don't think
he's a basketball
position
player.
I don't think his position has a name. Man, I do still have one of the 14 available, but I just.
I really want to know who this guy is. I think someone needs to pick whoever this player is, so that we know who this guy is, this mythical creature that's your top 14 player that you refuse to draft in the top 14.
As it turns out, I don't actually think he's a top 14 guy. And now that I'm forced to, you know what? Let's go with Rob Dillingham.
Oh, wow. What? Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yeah,
that's let's mix it up now. That is all right. That is interesting.
Let's do it.
Why Rob?
Upside.
You
just told me not to pay attention to positions, but on some level, I did feel the need to acknowledge that basically everyone I have is a big wing. I do feel like his ceiling, if he hits it, is considerably higher than everyone else I'm looking at in this range, even though there are definitely a bunch of safer picks. If this is a rookie draft, I've been in rookie drafts with both of you right now. granted, I wasn't at a spot where Rob was available, but where if I have one pick to supplement my roster, I'm not picking Dillingham third this season. He is a little bit lower on my board for just like this year when you have that one pick in a draft. But we're picking a whole bunch of people all at once. I know I'm going to have another shot at these guys. So I'm still sort of doing a little bit more swinging. Because I got a couple of these guys that I think have solid floors. And once some of these guys with strong floors start going, then I can get some of the other ones if that happens.
Yep. Didn't think we'd hear much about your swinging activities, Alex, but here we are.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, neither of you guys helped me out, so I have to take dumb and stupid Jalen Durham, which I'm actually not that upset about because I was considering taking him two rounds before. But if he ends up being Andre Drummond, then I guess that's pretty good for fantasy.
That's not terrible.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully I'm assuming that he's young and athletic enough that there is a coach out there that can get something out of him defensively enough that he's not just an absolute traffic cone. And like, that's literally all I can ask for. But even if he's a guy that ends up playing 20, 25 minutes a game, I think he can get enough rebounds during that time to make a little bit of an impact.
I'm going to take Alex's top 14 player here. And I'm going to take Brandon Pajemski.
That was the guy I was going to take with my next pick, but he was not.
Not your top 14 guy.
Not the top 14 guy, which clearly I was wrong to put him in that group.
Yeah, because we're about pick 30 here and you still haven't got him.
None of us have, yeah. Yeah, Pods was going to be my next guy. So I think I'm going to trust. Actually, this describes both the players I'm just looking at here. I'm going to go with Hawkes. Jaime Hawkes.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I like the way that they develop players down there. I think I might get some. I think that he might take a step back this year, and I think that he might get some a slightly bigger role as part of that. And I liked what we saw from him last year. I kind of like the guy.
He's a nice guy.
Good mustache work as well.
Great in the TAD with Jimmy Buckets.
It's true. Goodness, I really want to guess who your guy is, but I mean, I'll just keep going through my board until I get to him. I'm going to take Taylor Hendricks with my next one.
All right. Okay.
It is damning to this guy that
not Taylor Hendricks. Him.
No.
Goodness. Okay. Well, I mean, tall stretch four that can do a lot defensively as well. I like his upside. So that's why I went with Taylor Hendricks. But I think there's another guy that describes too that I was deciding between them two.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same guys that I was deciding between, and you took one of them. So I'll just take the other one, Noah, and I will take your namesake, Noah Clowney.
Okay, so that wasn't the other guy I was talking about, but I'm glad I made your life easier at least.
Yeah, okay. No thoughts on Clowney? I think he's going to be huge, guys.
I like Clowney. I like him.
No thoughts. Fair enough. All right. We'll see. Well, I think he's going to be big. I think he was a lottery talent last year. He was one of the youngest players in the draft. I think maybe second youngest behind Gigi. And he blocks shots, he shoots, he rebounds. Yeah, I think he's going to be like massive. I hope. And I hope it comes really quickly this season.
I mean, yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. I don't. Part of it is anti-Nets bias. Part of it is anti-Nets bias. Like, you know, just didn't watch a ton of Nets games last year.
Fair enough. And, well, you would have to tune in from about 15th of March onwards to see him play. That's how long it took.
I'm going to stick with teams who I trust their draft and developmental processes. Let's go with Cason Wallace.
Ooh, yeah. All right, that's hot.
Good one.
Ooh, I like it.
You know, in the Thunder, I trust is
where did you have, like, this time last year, when I go back to that, like, where would you have had Kaysen?
I had him, I think, like, right around his draft spot in, eighth, ninth, tenth. I had a failed trade to move up and get him. Like, we had the framework together, and then he went, like, the pick before or something like that. But it was right around his draft spot. It was, so he went 10th, and it was probably, I had him 8th, 9th.
I had him, like, at 6, I think, in that draft overall, ahead of, like, Anthony Black. I'm big on that. Like, the opportunity to spread his wings in OKC isn't necessarily there.
Right.
But whatever, that stuff can change in a year, in 2 years, who knows.
Yeah. I'm talking post draft. I don't do any ranks until after the draft comes out for rookies. I leave that to people who are paying more attention to it than I am. But once the draft came out, that's where I had him.
I liked Kaysen Wallace. I liked him pre-draft more than I did post draft, just because of the situation. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be hindering him too much. So
yeah. I mean, it's a situation where he's not getting a ton of minutes, but also it's a stamp of approval from an organization that we trust.
True.
That's fair. All right. I will get the other power forward that I was talking about that can do a good bit defensively. Maybe he's a little bit more limited, but offensively, but I'm going to go with Jairus Walker with the Pacers. I mean, him and Taylor Hendricks kind of pretty much side by side to me pre-draft. I think that's like an uncommon thought that they were, but hopefully
uncommon in which way?
I'm saying it wasn't uncommon for people to kind of associate them together as Pacers should take one of these two because they really need a power forward, and then they went with Jairus Walker.
Yeah,
but it's pretty similar to me.
Speaking of players who I have some concern just by the way the team doesn't seem to be showing a ton of confidence.
That is
do you have any of that? People loved Jared. People who I respect liked Jairus Walker going into the draft. But the Pacers don't seem thrilled with him at this point, and I'm concerned by that.
They seem to prefer Obi Toppin, which is it's not great, but like. I don't get it. I'm still interested in Jairus, but yeah, it's a weird spot. All right, my pick is Cam Whitmore. Just let's chalk that up. I don't know where the minutes will come from. I don't know how any of this stuff happens on that team, but Dylan Brooks is not going to be there after this year, I'm guessing, and Van Vliet probably isn't either. So yeah, I'll take Cam there. Just scoring upside, usage upside, it's not that easy to find. He's a good steals player as well. He's a tunnel vision guy. I know that, but like, who cares? I'm good at this spot. Like, I think the upside is pretty big here.
Yeah, I think super talented.
I think I might finally do it, guys.
Well, here he is.
No, I wanted to guess who it was. Like, I wanted one of me or Josh to pick him, not you. I'm kind of upset.
I'm kind of upset it's me, but at some point, I have Jaden Ivey.
Wow, you had him that high.
I thought you guys would too. And I thought you guys would too. I mean,
he was in the mix in the
draft, and everyone thought that they were an idiot for not taking him third. And
but I don't know. His defense sucks. His shooting sucks. I think there's a big chance he's out of Detroit this year, and that I think that would help a lot. But yeah, like it's.
I mean, we just took him after a guy who didn't play at all last year, and the seventh Rocket to get taken in this draft. Like we're
true. That's totally fair to have him here. But like, I think sometimes when you see something for 2 years and it's mostly bad. You've had the chances, and it's not like you didn't have the chances. You had them, and they weren't good. And that's I do like Ivy. So like I probably had him too low on my list, but I can't really see the guys who I had ahead that I would have. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's look. I'm just shocked. I guess you had him at 14 initially. That seemed high to me, but
Clearly, I didn't though.
Clearly wrong.
Push came to shove, I didn't do it, and then I didn't do it again.
Or maybe you just played it all perfectly, Alex, and you went, these other idiots aren't going to take Jaden Ivey. I'm just going to let him slide. Just play the value game and just grab him later on.
He was going to be one of my next two, so I think this is pretty much about where I would have taken him as well. So I don't hate it here, but it does make my life hard because I don't feel confident in the guy that is next on my board. But I don't want to look too far down, so I'll just do it. I'm going to take Donovan Klingon. I don't love it, but I think he's a pretty talented big. I think, honestly, the main concern for me a little bit heading into the draft was some of the injury stuff. But I think that DeAndre Ayton's not exactly like the center of the future in Portland, so I think that could be Klingon. And now I don't think this is a thing in fantasy basketball, but I have the stack with Scoot Henderson and Donovan Klingon, so we're good for the next 10 years.
Yeah, for a backup playing 22 minutes a night, you'll be cooking with him.
Exactly. They're both going to be backups because they both stink.
That's true. That's true. Okay. So I've got a guy here that's clearly – I've got clearly above the next group, but I don't really want to say it out loud. Like, I just am not happy with it. I'm not happy with – it just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't know. Because I don't like the fact that I'm sitting in this draft and I've talked for months about how much this draft class stinks and I'm going to take a third player out of this draft. Let's do it. I'll take Ron Holland here. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work. He's ridiculously talented. He can rebound. He defends well. The shooting, we'll see. The team situation, terrible. But the guys after it are all guys who I go, yeah, they're like solid sort of, you know, some reliable players. There's a couple of upside guys I could have gone with, but like I had Ron high all the way through and I'm not going to deviate from that after he plays zero games in the regular season so far.
It's very fair.
Fair enough.
I was going to add in, which could be brought back to Asar Thompson as well. I think I've said it every single time I've done a podcast talking about the Pistons, but the shooting coach they brought in, Fred Vinson, from New Orleans, who helped Herb Jones and Lonzo Ball. I think maybe that makes Ron Holland a 33-35% three-point shooter on catch and shoots. I think that opens up a ton for him to do everything else because I think he's at least good or at least average, I guess, at pretty much everything else.
Basically, every player, I believe, that came out of G League Ignite in its short and illustrious career improved their three-point percentage from Ignite to rookie season by like 3-4 percentage points.
Interesting.
Even if they weren't good, like Dyson Daniels and Scoot and Kuminga, they all came in as 27% shooters, 28% shooters, and they would shoot 32 or 33. Like Scoot, he's a terrible shooter. He shot 33% from three last year, which for a rookie guard is actually pretty good considering what he did the year before. So look, it's been a pretty consistent Jalen Green, terrible shooting numbers, not good in the NBA, but better than what he was at Ignite. So I look at his numbers and go, well, let's just tack a little bit on and we'll see. Don't have faith in it because it was shocking at summer league, but we'll see.
Let's go with Peyton Watson.
Ooh.
I love weird blocks, guys. I love just weird, unexpected blocks, and he's a non-center who can get you some blocks. I think/hope he's going to get more minutes this year with the way that the Nuggets appear to be a shallower team.
Well, you preempted my question there, Alex, because every time that I talk about the Nuggets or I put something out and I'll say, Christian Brown is likely to start, they go, man, I think Peyton Watson's going to start. I think people might get confused by the way that certain fantasy sites list his position because this man is obviously not a shooting guard. He plays the four and he plays small ball five. And I don't know, they didn't lose anyone from those positions. So I'm not really sure, unless when they go super big and play Michael Porter at the two, I'm not really sure how he gets those extra minutes. I like him, but I don't think that the absence of KCP impacts him much.
I do agree with you that I think Brown's more likely to start, and I agree with you that Watson's kind of a power forward. I don't know how other people are listing him.
Some people think he's a two or a three, which literally never plays a position ever or hasn't anyway.
I don't think that's right. I think it is possible that the Nuggets end up with maybe six or seven players that they trust. and they just fit him in wherever they fit. And that Watson is one of the six or seven. And so if those lineups are big, then those lineups are big. It is kind of how I feel about it. You're right. The big departures over the last couple of years have been at smaller positions, but they have so few players who it looks like Mike Malone is going to trust that. I think that Watson's minutes are going to go up that just through, you know, through lack of other options. I dropped something.
That's fair.
Do you not have his minutes up? It's a little early to have done Nuggets projections, but
what are you talking about? I had him done 3 weeks ago, so I can tell you. If you just give me a second, I'll tell you if I've got his minutes up. I probably do.
He was at like 18.6 last year, which isn't
high. And I've got him up significantly on that because he played 23 a game in the final seven games of last season. Yeah. He played 20 a game over the final month. I've got him at about 22 this season. So yeah, I do have him up a bit.
See, I think he could get closer to 25. I don't go through the sort of rigorous projections to make sure they all work the way that you do. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a little higher than that. But you did spend a lot more time and energy trying to come up with something that is defensible than I did.
I like the pick.
Yes. So I'm going to take a guy that I think that I could probably wait one or two rounds, but I feel very passionately about getting him here. And I'm a little bit scared that maybe one of y'all will. So I'm going to go with Dyson Daniels because one, I don't have a Hawk yet. And two, I think he's about to have by far the best year of his career. I think he starts. I think he actually plays defense on the perimeter, which I think will help alleviate some of Trae Young's lack of playing defense. And I think playing alongside Chang is going to get him some open threes to hopefully improve on that because it hasn't been good so far. And being a little bit of a secondary ball handler, I think it's a really, really good spot for Dyson Daniels. So I think he's got a chance at a breakout year.
Yeah, he does. I think it depends how you want to view this. I think he's going to take big steps forward and be better than a lot of guys on this list that have taken already this season, but like, I'm not sure where it goes from there. If he does that, doesn't like he develop into a 24 usage guy? Like probably never, right? Like he sort of, he might take a step up and be really good. And then where does it go from there? That's why I aim a little bit lower is I do think if we're drafting just for this year, like jump him way up this board, but we're not. I like it. It's more just like, what does he, I don't know how you guys approach a lot of this stuff. I think Alex, you mentioned this a little bit before, is you are looking for like, where's that upside going to come from? Who is that future all NBA equivalent all-star type player? Who's that guy that's got that ability to hit a 25 usage season with, you know, pushing to, you know, 15, 20% assist rate? Like, who's that guy that's going to develop into someone with the ball? And I think a lot of that, or someone who just dominates in, you know, certain defensive stats, whereas I think Dyson's going to be good. He's going to be solid. He's going to be serviceable. But like, does he ever have that higher upside? And that's, I guess, why I pushed him down a little bit. But he's going to be good this year.
And your last two picks, Josh, have that upside. Whitmore and Collin, both.
Yeah. Exactly.
You almost went a little bit safer with like the George Kessler, Sarp, Dembski range. And now you've taken a few swings.
I have, and that's where that gets me to this next one where I'm debating again. I'm stuck with these idiots from 2024. Like, but the youth, the usage upside is higher for most of these 2024 guys left versus the other draft classes. And I just don't know which one to take. Like, I had these guys all pretty similar in a tier. All right, let's take him. Let's take Zachary Risichet. God, I hate it. And part of this is you talk about like investment. Like, I didn't think he was a number one player or two or three or five or seven or 10 or whatever, right? But me thinking that is fine. if the team thinks something different, then they will put investment into him, right? They will say, well, you're a number one pick. We've got to make this work. We've got to get something out of it, right? So they'll give it every opportunity, and that gives you at least more chances to see whether that upside can hit versus someone that went at 15 who we might all think is better but doesn't get the chance, doesn't get as many opportunities, doesn't get things parted and gifted to him the same way that a number one or number two pick does to see if it works.
I am going to go with Andrew Nembhard, who
swinging for the fences.
No, the ceiling is not very high, but I feel like I took, you know, some swingier pitches earlier, whereas, a lot of the best players are gone, and I feel like I just got, like, literally possibly the next TJ McConnell, except TJ McConnell's apparently going to be there for a few more years now.
TJ McConnell is the next TJ McConnell. He's forever TJ McConnell.
But I mean, Nembhard's a pretty good player. Yeah. He gets a bunch of assists. He's a decent backup. I might get some usage out of him.
I just don't know what to make of him, right? Because he had some big games in the playoffs with Halliburton out, and then Halliburton was out for weeks during the regular season and he did nothing. Like,
yeah.
He just didn't ever touch the ball. He didn't do a single thing, even though he was allegedly the starting point. Well, he was the starting point. He just didn't do a single thing. So, like, which one of those is real? Is it the most recent example? Maybe. Hopefully. Yeah. But, like, I would have loved to have seen that mid-season when Halliburton was out, but he was, like, completely invisible. And we go, like, I'd rather take 21 minutes of backup TJ McConnell than 30 minutes of Andrew Nembhard. Like, that was a universal statement. But then
we were all recommending TJ McConnell at six less minutes as a fantasy player.
Because, like, we saw that and it just didn't happen. But then it did in the playoffs. So, like, yeah, I actually had him pretty low, but I probably shouldn't have. Like, part of it is he's going to be 25 in, like, 3 months or whatever, or 4 months. That's a big difference. But, yeah, like, he does have that ability. It'd be interesting to see if he takes that momentum across.
No, he just turned 30, 24, I thought.
He's 24. He's over 24 and a half, isn't he? Let me double check.
This is his 24th season. He's entering his 24th. No. Oh, you're right.
He turns 25 on January the 16th.
December. Yeah, you're right. So this is his age 24 season, but he does turn 25 somewhat early on.
Correct. Yeah. So you're using Basketball Reference age numbers. And Basketball Reference lists his last season, he's age 24. I don't know what their cutoff is. So this is his age 25 season on Basketball Reference. There's a certain date that they have a cutoff. I think it might be 1st of March.
RotoWire, we just use the age you are at the start of the season.
Yeah,
so this will be his age. For us, this is his age 24 season.
There you go, the battle of the calendars.
It's an optimistic way of looking at it. Yeah. Just always going to the younger one.
Your listeners are here for, Noah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to trade away a player, then you round down. If you're trying to trade for
we use the Ethiopian calendar where they're 13 months and everyone that becomes, like, he's actually minus 10 in that calendar. So we've got a lot of development still to come.
God, so much upside. That's why we go with the, oh my goodness. I don't want to take any of these 2024 guys, but I think I will just because I feel like we're kind of exhausting the other classes. I'm going to go with Modest Bouzelis. I think that he's going to – honestly, like, among the rookies, he has one of the best situations for just trying to, like, figure out what he's going to do during his rookie year because they should just give him some minutes. I mean, Chicago, so maybe they just won't, but they should just see what he can be. Josh, you mentioned, like, all the G League night guys just shoot better when they go to the NBA. Modest Bouzelis was one of the best shooters in high school basketball and then was horrible in the G League. So I'm assuming that'll be better. And he also was, like, had an insane, or I guess not insane, but, like, a very good block rate in the G League as well. So I think it fits really well for fantasy.
It's going to be a big test of my theory this year with him and basically everyone coming in, like him and Holland and Tyler Smith, and there's another one that I can't remember who the other one is, but, like, it's going to be a big test to see how they all, whether that works for them this season. Now, you are right, Noah, that it is getting a little murky in terms of the guys who aren't 2024 guys. There's a couple just sitting there, but I think I'm going to just take someone that. I hope I have to do it. Now that you've piped up, I hope that this is the guy that I think it is, the guy that you put your nuts out there for last year.
No, I was saving him for my last pick. I'm so sure you guys weren't going to take him. I was going to triumphantly use him as my last one.
Years, 2 years in the NBA. He's a solid starter. He's improved his shooting. I think he can defend. He's shown a little bit of ball handling. Let's go and take Jeremy Sochan.
Let's take Jeremy Sochan
with this pick. Let's go.
It's terrible.
Just hearing or clean the background.
Yes. Oh, no. All over Jeremy Sochan. Like, all right. That's how we know we're getting a little bit too deep into the weeds.
I wasn't even going to take him with this pick because I thought you guys were going to let him go and I was going to like get all excited. I was going to make a whole show of it with my last pick taking him.
It's not happening, man.
Terrible. It's going to take a minute to recover. All right. So back to the spirit of like, you know, we're at pick with like 30 something of like this weird format. And this is not your normal dynasty draft. If this were a normal dynasty draft, there are other 2024 players I would still take before the guy I'm about to pick. For this pick, I'm going to take Kyle Ware.
I don't know what you're doing, apparently.
Like, you know, let's go nuts. See if this guy, like, again, investing in a team I trust, and I don't have any big still. So, like, to the extent I'm paying any attention to that, and I think he's got a lot more upside than some of the other players, even though there are definitely, if you're, you know, picking, if you're picking like 6th, 7th, 8th in a dynasty draft, please don't take Kyle Ware yet. Please be a little bit more responsible. Take him a little bit later.
Nah, he's fine. He's good. He's really good. Like, I think he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Fine with me.
What I really do is I go into this, I hack into the spreadsheet and I delete Jeremy Sochan and I put him.
I won't trade it because I liked it. It was fun. It was fun taking him off. Okay.
Yeah. You can't give it up now. Like, we have to live with that satisfaction. Or I guess the reaction, but I'm going to go with Bilal Coulibaly here.
I wondered if he would go.
A 2024 guy. Super young, a lot of upside, very good defensively. Hopefully he can figure something out offensively to be good enough that it really works out for fantasy, but the defense is a lot of fun, I think.
All right, that means I will take his teammate. I will take Carlton Carrington with that pick. Big guard, rebounds, assists, scoring, shooting, bad team. Let's try it out. Another 2024 guy, my God.
Are you going to get the third 2024 wizard with your last pick, Josh?
I 100% am not taking Keyshawn George. Someone else can do that. I will not be doing that.
If you make it back to you, I guess.
I feel like I should be taking Zach Edey, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Kamara. I'm going to take Tamani Kamara.
Are you okay?
You know, I like to point out once again, deep
and I don't have him.
So many role players, Raclean.
I do.
Guys that are 10-year, 15 to 20 minute game guys. Like, I love it.
Look, he can play, man. He's a good player.
He's a really good player. He's a really good defender.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the fantasy production, but at least you got someone who can celebrate the same birthday as Andrew Nembhard on your team. So that's good.
And me.
They'll be in the retirement home together next year.
There's a reason that we're all together here is, you know, us and Enrique Iglesias are all going to celebrate together on May 8th. Yeah.
I suppose you didn't go with Dalton Connect to get yourself just another old guy to jump in there.
There's something to be said for players who force coaches to play them when no one really expected that.
It's true. That is true.
All right. Last pick. I'm going to do my upside swing. I'm going to go kind of use Reclaim's strategy from earlier as far as trusting the team drafting, I'm going to go with Nikola Topic. And just know that he's going to sit on the IR for a while, but eventually I think that they drafted him for a reason because he's really talented. They're going to figure out a way to use him, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, once they figure it out and he's healthy. So that's what I'm going to go with last pick.
So I got the last pick, and I hate this because there's 10 guys that I feel shouldn't be undrafted, but obviously will be. And I don't know which one.
We'll reference them after.
Well, you're the one who took Risa, Shay.
Yeah, true. I did. I will. Far out. Now, I could do it one that would get people to go, oh, but I won't do that. I'll talk about that later. I'm going to take Bishop Jackson II, also known as Gigi.
I wondered if he would go.
Yeah, well, he's bloody young, man. Like, he's younger than most people in this draft that just happened. Yeah. Look at my team. Like, I got him and Cam Whitmore. Imagine who's getting the ball out of those guys. Like, there's a lot of guys with, again, you give me usage upside. Like, I know the rest of the stuff is terrible, but like, bro's younger than half the guys drafted this year. Like, I think half the guys drafted in the top 10, he's probably younger than.
Yeah. Most of them, yeah. Well, Josh, I'll start with you, unless there was anything else you want to say about Gigi Jackson, just because I know Alex said he doesn't have a board past 14. So if there was anybody else on your board that didn't get drafted that you wanted to at least give a shout-out to.
So I was debating Gigi at that spot, Steph Castle and Zach Edey were the other two that I thought, okay, maybe I'd take them there. And the other one that I was going to get my reaction from, I'm really interested to see what Max Christie can do this season. He's still really young. He's going to have a big, solid rotation role this year. He's someone who I was like, we just need to watch what happens there. So he, I wouldn't have taken him because I didn't, but he's that name. I don't know how if you guys had him close to this, but Max Christie's someone that I'm interested in seeing what happens this year.
I had his name on my spreadsheet, but that's about
it. I didn't have him on my spreadsheet for today, but he is sort of someone on my radar. Edey is the only name. Edey and Benedict Mathurin were the only names on my list that went undrafted, but I also didn't put together a full 42-person list because I had a feeling that someone was going to take Alex Saar and someone was going to take Zachary Richechet. I just didn't expect it to be the same person.
who is your highest left player, Noah?
Mine was Benedict Mathurin. I think I would have taken him before a couple of these guys, but I just kind of soured on him as we were drafting. So
yeah, did you consider the fact that he stinks?
So it was more the fact that we were talking about guys that their teams don't want to play him, and I had taken Jairus Walker, and you guys said that. I was like, I can't take a second pacer that they don't want to play. But I think Edey, I also had Anthony Black. I had Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, that's one I wanted to bring up because I had him ranked the highest out of everyone left, but okay, he is older. But him and Vince Williams, they are better than so many of the guys. Like right now, they are better than so many of the guys on this list. They're obviously just older. So like, where do they? Like Jackson Davis can jump up significantly this season, but like, you know, when these other guys hit that same age, where are they at? But yeah, they're the two guys that they are really. If we're drafting for this year, though, I would have had them very easily.
Vince Williams was the player on my mind of like, if I'm in a panic and my spreadsheet runs out, just throw him in. Did either of you have Jared McCain anywhere?
Nope.
I find myself kind of infatuated by him.
No, he's fun. I enjoy the personality, but I have not got him anywhere near my, like I went out to 65 and he wasn't there.
Yeah. Where do you have him for Dynasty this year? Just among the rookies?
That's a good question. Let me talk amongst yourselves and I'll just get my list up.
I'm in two dynasty leagues. Both of them are relatively deep and I got him in both at picks like 16 and maybe 12. So
yeah, I had him at 16.
Okay. I kind of like him, but I mean, obviously the situation isn't ideal, especially not for this year, but, I find myself enjoying liking the talent.
I'm with you.
And then, I mean, we're obviously never going anywhere near him. Anyone interested in Kolak?
Nah, not at all.
He actually was not on my board whatsoever. Well, yeah. I had a lot of names. I think I had a lot. He's old.
He's like theoretically, like, I guess you could say he's the backup point guard, but he's not like Juice McBride is, like,
right.
Third string, second round point guard for Tom Thibodeau. Like, yeah, how many much is he going to play ever? Like, I don't know. Maybe he is going to be good. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. No, nah, that's too much Tyler Kolak talk for me.
All right. Well, we can wrap up with that because we're at an hour and I promised it would take less than that. But before we go, Josh, do you have what? I know you have content coming up. So what do you have on the agenda this week that we can be looking out for?
Doing positional tiers at the moment, and then I don't know, I've got about 20 shows listed down. I don't know what order they're going to come out in, so yeah, there'll just be stuff.
Yeah, and Alex, I know you have more than 20 shows on the agenda. What
definitely. I got a couple of preseason stuff coming out, preseason articles coming out on Yahoo. The first one is in about 2 weeks, and it will include some of the players we talked about today. First one will be about rookies. Couple articles on Yahoo. A couple articles will come after that on RotoWire. You guys have busier off seasons than me. I'm busier during the season. But yeah.
Sweet. Well, you guys, thank you guys so much for joining me. I'm sure that if anybody's listening to this, so they're probably already following you guys on Twitter, but make sure you guys give at @RedRock_Bball and at @Reclean a follow on there. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Take Me Later podcast. And I will see you guys next time.
Thanks.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.